First reading is in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she is was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Our second reading is taken from Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And our final reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for reading those passages for us. That's really helpful. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12, so perhaps you'd like to turn back in your Bible. So the very beginning, back to Genesis chapter 12, page 13. And I'm going to just pray and ask God for his help before we look at his word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the living God and the speaking God. Thank you that you speak to us today through the words of the Bible, through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we look at this person of Abraham and his relationship with you, thank you that you are the same God now as you were when Abraham knew you a long time ago. We pray that you would help us to learn ourselves what it means to have faith in you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So thinking this morning about what does faith look like? What is faith? What does it mean to have faith? What does faith look like? Sometimes Christians find that friends of theirs who are not Christians might say to them, oh, I wish I had your faith. I wonder if anyone's ever said that to you if you're a Christian. I wish I had your faith. But you know, whether we're a Christian or not, we all have faith in a way. Faith is just putting your trust in someone or something. The question really is what you put your faith in. So I put a train to London last week. And whenever you catch a train, you bring your faith in the train company, aren't you? The train says London in front, and as you step onto the train, you bring your faith that actually will take you to London, and you're not going to end up in Scotland. Some of you have been to hospital for an operation or an appointment like that, and when you go to hospital, you're putting your faith in the doctor, and you're trusting that he or she is actually going to help you rather than finish you off. You're putting your faith in a doctor. And Christians are people who look at Jesus and say, I'm going to put my trust in you. I trust you. I trust your promises. I'm going to put my faith in you. So when someone becomes a Christian, they change what they put their faith in. So I've got lots of friends and loved ones who are atheists. Lots of people in Britain are atheists. And when someone is an atheist, they have faith that there is no God. They have faith that we're here by random. They look for meaning in life from the things that you can see and feel in this world. But when you become a Christian, you instead put your faith in other things. And you trust that there is a God. And you trust that you can have meaning through knowing his son, Jesus. I have some friends who are Muslims. And if someone is a Muslim, then they put their faith in the Quran and in the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. And they believe that you can earn a friendship with God through fasting and through pilgrimage and things like that. But when they become a Christian, they instead put their faith in other things. You put your trust in the words of the Bible. And you trust that you can't earn a friendship with God. But wonderfully, Jesus can give you a friendship with God if you trust in him. And of course, there are lots of reasons for trusting in Jesus. I'm starting our Christianity Explore course later on, and we'll think there about the many, many reasons there are for trusting in Jesus. But today, now, we're starting looking at this little part of the book of Genesis, and this very famous person, Abraham. Where as his name beginning, his name is Abraham. We're going to break our passage into two parts. And the beginning of our passage is the most important part of the whole book of Genesis. And it's one of the most important parts of the whole Bible. We're asking the question, what does faith look like? Well, if you look at the screen, Genesis gives us the answer. Faith is trusting God's promises. And looking at verses 1 to 9. Why don't you have a Bible open in front of you if you'd like to follow along? And we're going to read chapter 12, Genesis, verses 1 to 3. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And a little later we read that Abraham obeys and he travels to this land. Here's a map, this is a satellite photo of the Middle East. And you can see the journey that Abraham took. He started off at the bottom right, in modern day Iraq, in a place called Ur. And then he goes up to modern day Turkey, to a place called Haran. And then he goes down to the land that God had promised him, which was Canaan, or as it came to be known later, the land of Israel. And I hope that map helps us realize that the Bible is talking about real places and real people. Abraham traveled hundreds of miles, and it was very costly for him. He left a lot behind. He left a country that he knew. He left the people that he knew. He left a lot of loved ones that he knew. And why did he do that? It's because of God's wonderful promises. God promised him a land. God promised to make him into a great nation. And wonderfully, God promised him great blessing. Blessing means that God would do lots of good to him. Verse 2, God says, I will bless you. In fact, end of verse 2, God will bless him so much that you will be a blessing. That means people will say to each other, oh, may God bless you in the way that he's blessed Abraham. That's a whole ton of blessing. In fact, God is so totally for Abraham that verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in fact, there will be so much blessing poured on Abraham that somehow, verse 3, all peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham and through his family line. That is a lot of blessing. Now, when I was growing up, my dad had a globe in his room in our house. You know what a globe is? It's like a 3D model of the world. And my dad's globe is very nice. It had a switch, an electric switch, and a pressure switch. The whole world sort of glowed. It sort of lit up. It's very, very nice. Imagine I take my dad's globe and I turn it around so that at the very top of the globe is the land of Canaan, or Israel, as it's known now. So Israel is right at the top. And then imagine I get a big can of gold paint, and I take the lid off, and I'm holding the globe like this, and then I slowly pour the gold paint on top of the globe. And so it sort of pours down, and it hits Israel, and then imagine it sort of spreads and pours all over the whole world. Now, I bet my dad very cross if I did that, because I've ruined his globe, and I've just put gold paint all over the carpet. But it's a brilliant picture of the kind of promise that God is giving to Abraham here. He's promising blessing upon blessing upon blessing on Abraham in the land of Israel. And somehow that blessing is going to spread to the entire globe. And that comes true through the person of Jesus later, who comes from Abraham's family and who is the Savior of the entire world. Faith is trusting God's promises. And verse 4, that's what we see Abraham do. Verse 4, Abraham left as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old. He set out from Haran and took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, all the stuff and the people that they had with them, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham has faith. He says, I trust you, God. You're powerful, you're good, you tell the truth, I'm going to trust you. Don't know how you're going to give me this land. I'll never even live long enough to see my descendants become a nation, but I'm going to trust you. Abraham has faith. And it says on the screen, he has faith, he trusts in God's promises, and he sets out on this long journey. Now, some of you know exactly what that's like. Some of you have moved to the UK from other countries. Some of you have moved to the UK quite recently. from Pakistan, from India. And you said goodbye to your city, you said goodbye to your people, and you moved to the UK, many hundreds of miles away from where you lived. And then you said goodbye to the language that you know, you said goodbye to the weather that you know, you said goodbye to the clothes that you know, to the food that you know. I mean, here in the UK we have biryani. It's not quite the same biryani as the biryani that you enjoyed back in Pakistan or in India. And it's a huge change, isn't it, to move so far away. So you can move from other parts of the world, like Nigeria, other parts of Africa. You know what it's like, you know what Abraham went through, moving a very long way. It's a huge change. And if you've moved to the UK recently, let me say a big welcome to you. It's wonderful to have you here. It's wonderful to have you here at St. Mary's Church. But you know what it was like for Abraham. And actually, it was even more important for Abraham than it was for you. Because Abraham did it to obey God's gospel promise. And God's call to Abraham is similar to God's call on us. God calls us to have faith in his promises. Just like he called Abraham to. Think of what Jesus said when Jesus came. Jesus calls us to leave our old lives, doesn't he? And he calls us to come and follow him. And Jesus says, trust my promises, and I will lead you all the way to the kingdom of heaven. Faith is trusting God's promises. Just look at this verse up on the screen. This is the New Testament part of the Bible. And it says, God announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Genesis 12 is the gospel. If we put our faith in God's gospel promises about Jesus, we will be blessed along with Abraham. Next few verses, in verses 6 to 9, we see Abraham travel all through the promised land. He starts at the top in Shechem, he goes to the middle in Bethlehem, he goes down to the south in the Negev. He travels through the whole land and he worships God there. He builds altars, he calls on the name of the Lord in prayer. And he's an example to you and to me. He trusted in God's promises. Now that was costly for him, but it was worth it. And I wonder how it's going to cost you for you to trust God's gospel promises. As you think back over your life, if you call yourself a Christian, I wonder how you can see the cost of trusting God's promises. If you can't see any cost at all, it's probably because you're not a Christian. Trusting God's gospel promises is always costly. Maybe you can remember giving up a treasured sin left it behind with Jesus. Or maybe you can think of money that you've been given to serve the work of the gospel or to help the poor. Or maybe you've deliberately moved house to serve the gospel. Or maybe you've given huge amounts of time to help out a church that's been costly. It's important for us to see that that cost is normal. It's always costly to trust in God's promises. It's costly for Abraham, it's costly for Christians today. But the cost is absolutely worth it, isn't it? God will promise blessing forever. God will give us our promised land, but the kingdom of heaven. The cost is absolutely worth it. There we'll be reunited with all of our friends and loved ones who trusted in Jesus. There we'll have riches and joy that will completely make up for any cost that we face now in following Jesus. It's absolutely worth trusting in God's promises. Well, faith is trusting in God's promises. Now let's look at the second part of our passage, where we see that faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. I'm looking at verses 10 to 20. Look down at verse 10 and see how Abraham's faith was tested. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. There was a real lack of food. It's very serious. It's a test of Abraham's faith. But very sadly, he fails. You see, Abraham doesn't turn to God. He doesn't pray to him. He doesn't ask for his help. And instead, Abraham decides that he's going to solve this problem completely on his own. And so he comes up with a plan. Verse 11. As he was about to enter Egypt, he says to his wife Sarai, I know what beautiful woman you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say that you're my sister, so that I'll be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Now, maybe Abraham's right. Maybe his life really would have been in danger, but who knows? Maybe not. Anyway, Abraham comes up with a plan. Probably what Abraham had in mind was this. He and his wife would pretend that they're brother and sister. And if any men came up to Sarai, stroking their moustaches and holding boxes of chocolates, then Abraham would be able to keep them at a distance. Abraham would be able to stay in control of the situation. You can imagine that kind of thing. He'd say to them, oh, hello again, sir. It's very good to see you again. I'm so glad that you're interested in my sister. Sarah is very dear to me, but of course she's very shy. Maybe you should come back next week, and perhaps we could go for a walk together. I imagine the plan was to stop any man ever getting through the front door. But then, of course, it all goes wrong. Just look at verse 14. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. So you can imagine the scene. Pharaoh, the king, and his officials, the people who work for him, they come into the throne room, and they bow down to the mighty Pharaoh. We've got some exciting news for you. There's a new guy in town. He's wealthy, he's called Abraham, and he's got a sister. Boy, has he got a sister.
Oh, really? Says Pharaoh, raising his eyebrows.
Oh, mighty Pharaoh, she makes Kim Kardashian look like a pig. So put on your best perfume, your best aftershave, take a bunch of flowers and get down there quickly. The new Mrs. Pharaoh has just rolled into town. And Abraham's plan, just like that, falls to pieces. Because Abraham can hold off ordinary Egyptian men, but he can't say no to the king. So picture Abraham and Sarah. Their faces turn white. They have fake smiles on their faces. And Pharaoh takes Sarah away. And she becomes one of Pharaoh's wives. Very sadly, I think it's understand that Pharaoh had sex with her. And it's a tragedy. It's a disaster for Abraham and Sarah. Verse 16 tells us that Pharaoh treated Abraham well for the sake of the person who brought his sister. But it's come at a very great cost. Abraham's faith was tested by the famine. And he chose to rely on himself and not on God. He doesn't pray about it. He doesn't seek God's wisdom. And he's got into a terrible mess, a tragic mess. Imagine Abraham weeping. Imagine Sarah weeping with the shame of it all. Maybe think of him that we sometimes say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And it's a tragedy. But God hasn't given up on them. Verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was to your wife and get out of here.
You can imagine Abraham standing there, flushed red and very embarrassed. It's his fault. Abraham's faith has failed, but Abraham's God has not. And rescues them. And as we finish, I think that speaks to you and me in a couple of ways. Firstly, just notice that the believers in the Bible are not perfect. They're ordinary believers. Even Abraham, the great man of faith, messes up. And I think there's some comfort to be found there. We all mess up from time to time. That's why when we come on Sunday, we always say a prayer of confession. We confess our sins and those we've messed up to God. But at the same time, this passage comes as a warning to us. Be like Abraham at the beginning of the chapter, but don't be like him at the end of the chapter. We're to stay close to the Lord. Church, Bible, prayer, stay close to the Lord. Our faith will be tested as well. And we want to make sure that we stay close to him. Maybe there won't be food enough on the table, just like Abraham. Maybe there'll be money troubles. Maybe we'll have problems with our health. Maybe there'll be pressure at work. Let's stay close to the Lord. If we don't stay close to the Lord, it might be our husband or wife who pays the price. I think of one friend whose marriage and family fell apart. And they said to me, do you know what? We stopped giving thanks at meal times. I think that was the beginning of the end. Stay close to the Lord. So the believers in the Bible are not perfect. That's one thing that says to us. Here's another thing. God doesn't give up on them. God doesn't give up on them. God is faithful. His promises are powerful and good. And he brings Abraham and Sarah back to the promised land. He has a plan for them. He has a plan to save the world through Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that you and I can be careless with God. But it does mean that if we're trusting in Jesus, he loves us. He's powerful. He's bringing us to our promised land, the kingdom of heaven. Now some of you have moved to the UK because you wanted to have a better future for your families, a better future for your children. And it's wonderful that you're here. But don't forget, God has something better for you than the UK. God wants to give all of us the kingdom of heaven. That is far better than the UK. If you move to the UK from another country, you can earn more money here. But you need to be careful about that, because that can be a distraction. And you can start to think so much about earning lots of money that that becomes what you live for. And you begin to forget about Jesus. You begin to forget about the church. I'm dad with young children. And what we should want for our children as they grow up, it's not just that they are successful, that they get good education, they get good jobs, that they earn money. I think about my 3 young children. It would be a tragedy if my 3 children grew up to be successful, wealthy, non-Christians. That would be awful. They would miss out on the kingdom of heaven. I don't want that for them. God wants to pour blessing on you and me through Jesus. He wants to give us our promised land, the kingdom of heaven. And so let's stay close to him. And let's keep trusting his gospel promises. God announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. And those who rely on faith in Jesus